Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 37. In the first part of this chapter, Jeremiah is arrested and put in prison on false charges. In the second half of the chapter, Jeremiah is released from his dungeon cell, but kept under arrest in the court of the prison or guardhouse. Let's begin by reading the first 10 verses. Jeremiah chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now to the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans, who were besieging Jerusalem, heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt to their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire." Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 37 with some background notes. We see in verse 1 that the events of this chapter are once again during the time of King Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. Remember, in chapters 35 and 36, we went back a few years to the time of King Jehoiakim. Now, here in chapters 37 and 38 of Jeremiah, we are again in the years of King Zedekiah during the final siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army. Sometime between 588 BC and 586 BC. In 586 BC, the wall of Jerusalem was breached and the city was burned and the people were carried away as captives to Babylon. This fall of Jerusalem will be covered in chapter 39 of Jeremiah. Question: why does verse 1 essentially skip over the three-month reign of Jehoiakim or Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim? Answer: his reign was so short before he was taken by Nebuchadnezzar as a captive to Babylon that his throne was never established. And thus the prophecy of Jeremiah 36 verse 30 was fulfilled, which stated that Jehoiakim would have no descendant sitting on the throne of David. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 37. Doctrinal point number one: unbelievers will ask for prayer but refuse to repent. Unbelievers will ask for prayer but refuse to repent. We see in verse 3 that King Zedekiah sent a couple of officials to Jeremiah requesting prayer. Now that's interesting, especially in view of what we read in verse 2. But neither Zedekiah nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. So does this request for prayer mean that King Zedekiah decided to repent all of a sudden and get right with God? I don't think so. But he asked for prayer, you say. So what? A lot of people ask for prayer with no idea whatsoever of repenting of their sins. Repentance is more than asking for prayer. In fact, repentance is more than being sorry for your sins. Repentance means that you are willing to confess your sins and turn away from your sins and change your ways. King Zedekiah was unwilling to repent, even though he wanted Jeremiah to pray for him. In verse 5, we read that meanwhile, Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans or Babylonians who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. The pressure was off. The Babylonians or Chaldeans had to leave and fight the Egyptians. We know from chapter 34, remember, that it was during this temporary lull in the siege that King Zedekiah and the people of Judah reneged on their covenant to release their slaves. Maybe Zedekiah thought that the Lord had answered Jeremiah's prayer, so there was no need to repent, since the immediate threat from Babylon was removed. Jeremiah assured King Zedekiah that the Babylonian army would return, and not only again besiege Jerusalem, but capture it and burn it with fire. Verse 8, "And the Chaldeans," or Babylonians, "shall come back and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire." In fact, the Lord said through Jeremiah that even if Judah were to defeat the entire Babylonian army, the wounded Babylonian soldiers would be able to conquer Jerusalem. Verse 10, "For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire." God saw through King Zedekiah's pious request for prayer, and he sees through any request for prayer today where people are unwilling to repent. Have you ever had an unbeliever piously ask you to pray for them? I've had many unbelievers ask me to pray for them, but they have absolutely no intention of confessing their sins and repenting of their sins and getting right with God, because it means that they would have to change their sinful and selfish ways. Unbelievers will ask for prayer but refuse to repent. Doctrinal point number 2. Unbelievers will hate the messenger as well as the message. Unbelievers will hate the messenger as well as the message. Verses 11 through 16. Jeremiah chapter 37, beginning now with verse 11. "And it happened when the army of the Chaldeans left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to claim his property there among his people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there, whose name was Erijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, and he seized Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'You are defecting to the Chaldeans.' Then Jeremiah said, 'False, that's a lie. I am not defecting to the Chaldeans.' But he did not listen to him. So Erijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Then Jeremiah entered the dungeon and vaulted cell, and Jeremiah remained there many days." When the Babylonian army lifted the siege temporarily, Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to take possession of some property in the land of Benjamin. This was probably the field at Anathoth, his hometown, that he bought back in Jeremiah chapter 32. You remember that? I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 9 and 10. "So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales." Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 9 and 10. So Jeremiah is probably going out to inspect this land that he had purchased. When Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem by the gate of Benjamin, he was arrested, falsely accused, beaten, and thrown into prison. Because Jeremiah had preached to the king and the nation of Judah that the word of the Lord was to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, the captain of the guard logically assumed that Jeremiah was going out of Jerusalem by way of the gate of Benjamin to surrender to the Babylonians. That was not true, and Jeremiah told them so, but they would not listen. Instead, they angrily beat Jeremiah and put him in a dungeon. Verse 15, "Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Then Jeremiah entered the dungeon and vaulted cell, and Jeremiah remained there many days." The bottom line was that they did not like the message that Jeremiah was preaching, that Jerusalem would be conquered and burned, and thousands of people would be either killed or taken as captives, and the nation of Judah would come to an end. They did not like that message. And notice in verse 17 that Jeremiah did not water down his message when King Zedekiah gave him the opportunity. No. The king and his officials hated that message of judgment, and they hated the messenger as well. The same is true today. People don't mind hearing that God is a God of love. But when you start talking about the holiness of God and the fact that they are under the judgment of God because of their sin, and Christ is the only way of escape from hell, unbelievers not only hate that message, they will hate you as well. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 18, "The world hated me, it will hate you." And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, we read, "Don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." 1 John 3:13. It doesn't matter that you are just a messenger. They wouldn't hate you if you believed in Santa Claus. But the fact that you believe what the Bible teaches is different. Unbelievers will hate the messenger as well as the message. So if you're not experiencing some of the hate of this world, maybe we should be a little bit concerned. Are we preaching the message? What about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 37? Try to separate the message from the messenger. Try to separate the message from the messenger. Verses 17 through 21. Jeremiah 37, beginning now with verse 17. "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, 'Is there any word from the Lord?' And Jeremiah said, 'There is.' Then he said, 'You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.' Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, 'What offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? Therefore, please now hear, O my lord the king, please let my petition be accepted before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there.' Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison." In these verses, Jeremiah tries to show King Zedekiah that he was only the message bearer. He was only the messenger. He had nothing against King Zedekiah personally. And King Zedekiah had to admit that everything Jeremiah had predicted had come true, unlike the smooth-talking false prophets that had falsely prophesied that Babylon would not come against Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah. King Zedekiah saw the point and at least brought Jeremiah out of the dungeon and provided him with a daily ration of bread. We too should try to separate the message from the messenger. Try to help people see that we have nothing against them personally, but we would be wrong not to share the truth of the Word of God with them, that they are under the judgment of God and are destined for hell if they don't receive God's gift of salvation in Christ. It's not easy, but at least try to separate between the message and the messenger.